Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to day two of the NFL draft. I'm your host of today's Pack-A-Day podcast, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day podcast. Thank you so much for being here and thank you for all the support, all the people who showed up at the draft party. We had over 2,000 people in there at one point. It was a very interesting day one of the NFL draft. We'll get to that more in just a moment. Before I do get there, just a reminder, today, Friday, noon Central Time, we'll do another live Q&A for probably about an hour and a half with any questions that you guys have. So that's open to everyone. 4 p.m. Central Time, I'll be over at Badger State Brewery for about an hour and a half doing live question and answer with anyone that wants to show up and have a drink and talk Packers. And then from there, Ross Uglum will take that live show over at Badger State. And then from 6 p.m. on, I will be doing the live draft cast once again. Maggie Loney will be joining me along with Brennan Rupp. We're also going to be joined by Jacob Morley and Andrew Murtagh. It is going to be a blast. Maybe we'll have some other people show up, but should be a very entertaining day too, with Green Bay having four selections in the second and third rounds combined. Cannot wait. This is going to be the real core of this draft class, in my opinion, is round two and three. Day two, arguably more important than day one because of those four selections. So it is going to be A, massively important, B, rather unpredictable, and C, should be a ton of fun. All right, let's talk about Thursday, though, because Thursday was extremely noteworthy as well. And Green Bay went full on NFL draft Green Bay Packers, doing a very Packers-esque thing by taking Jordan Morgan with their first-round pick, 25 overall, and him obviously becoming the newest member of the Green Bay Packers. Offensive tackle out of Arizona. We'll kind of break down and do some of the scouting report in just a moment. But number one, this is, again, very Packers-like. Everyone joked, man, Cooper DeJean's going to be there and then they're going to take somebody totally different. Packers are going to do something Packers-y and it's going to be somebody nobody expected. And this is what the Packers do. They have their guy. They don't care what the consensus draft board say. They don't care what's in Dane Brugler's draft guide, what's on Daniel Jeremiah's big board. They certainly don't care what's on my big board or your big board or anyone else's. They care who's on theirs. And as I've said all along, I said the other day, regardless if you love the player, hate the player, there are positives and negatives to every single one of these guys. Every single one. There will be a player taken late day three, undrafted free agent, that goes on to have probably a Pro Bowl, All Pro, maybe even Hall of Fame career. There will be a multitude of players taken in the first round of the draft that become complete and total busts. And this is an inexact science. What I always love about Goody and the Packers, regardless of what you think about the pick, is that they are full of conviction for what they should do. They have a philosophy. They have a process. They put it through that process. And more often than not, they get pretty good results out of it. Whether they're the ideal results and those sort of things, we can always debate that back and forth. But over the course of time, their process has worked pretty darn well. And certainly as of late for Goody, he's done a tremendous job in the draft and finding some really talented football players that have really turned this team around in a very short period of time. But this was a very Green Bay Packers type selection. And in my opinion, as I kind of marinate on this a little bit more, this draft right now, before we know what's going to happen on day two, is already giving me some pretty distinct 2023 draft vibes. And what I mean by that is LVN was always, in a way, despite being the first guy drafted in that class, he was always the project. Jaden Reed was sort of expected to be able to come in and be maybe not quite the impact player that he was right away, but he was expected to come in and contribute right away. Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, again, you would not for sure, didn't know 100% exactly how high of a ceiling they were going to be able to contribute at in year one, but they were going to have to contribute right away. They had no other tight ends on the roster for the most part. Of course they were going to contribute. And then you saw rotational possibilities for Colby Wooden and Carl Brooks. You certainly weren't sure that Carrington Valentine was going to get any playing time or even necessarily make the team. He ends up being a big part of the team. You knew Anders Carlson was going to be their primary kicker. You saw the makings of a draft class that was going to have an immediate impact from day two and beyond. But LVN, interestingly enough, again, was always arguably one of, if not the biggest projects for Green Bay and their entire class, despite being their first overall pick. Now, I don't know that I'm necessarily arguing that LVN was not able to help in his first year. He certainly did. Rotational player, had some good pass rush productivity when given the opportunity. And I'm not saying necessarily the same for Jordan Morgan. In fact, I expect him to play in year one. I expect him to have some sort of impact in year one. He's going to have to. Just based on the depth on the offensive line, there's going to be ample opportunities for him to play this upcoming season, and he'll have every right to earn a starting spot along that offensive line. But at the same token, you can see a world in which Jordan Morgan maybe isn't everyone's favorite pick from this draft in a lot of ways, similar to what LVN kind of was. And at the same time, I am filled with confidence that day two, with four top 100 picks still on their board, and even with day three, with six more picks tomorrow, I still feel like Green Bay is going to be able to go out and aggressively find players that are going to not only be able to help this team right now, but into the future as well. And it's going to allow them to still take what they always do, a home run swing type player in round one, to give them an option of getting a player that could potentially be a high-end Pro Bowl caliber, you know, premium position player. And that's what they're hoping for in Jordan Morgan. They're not hoping with Jordan Morgan, just like they weren't with Jaire Alexander and Eric Stokes and Rashawn Gary and Jordan Love and LVN, they're not hoping to find a good player in round one. Their goal is to find a epic player, a potential all-pro player, a Pro Bowl caliber player. And with Jordan Morgan specifically, you can see that his game needs work. And we'll break all of that down. And we'll break down it more when we get into the deep dives of these players as well. But you know it's going to take some work. But the traits, the eye test, the work ethic, all of the things that sort of go into that magic formula of trying to create a high-end level caliber player are there. Except maybe the short arms, but we'll work through that. But either way, the vast majority of things that you're looking for to try to become a high-end player in this league are there for Jordan Morgan. So now the question becomes, was this with the home run swing? Did they hit a homer? Did they get a triple, a double, a single? Did they strike out? We don't know. But Goot swung aggressively, and he got a premium position player with all the traits that you desire, and this is the most Packers pick ever. And for those saying, like, man, how could, you know, you didn't see this coming or what? You should have. You should have. And the reason I say that, and yeah, this is not me being like, look at me, I'm so smart. But he was the number two guy on my 25 most likely Packers or, you know, prospects to become a Green Bay Packer in this draft. In my mock draft, the two-round mock draft earlier this week, I did trade down, but Jordan Morgan was my selection for the Packers. A lot of people really hated that. He was one of my final six on the short list of players that I went over that if they stay at pick 25, he was one of six players I had on my list. He was my top player if they traded down to grab someone, I thought it would be Jordan Morgan. And overall, regardless of all of that, again, this should not have come as a surprise because this is what Green Bay does. This is the exact type of player that they look for. And we have gone over that with Jordan Morgan ad nauseum, despite the fact that for me, the value at 25, little questionable, little iffy. Were there other players there that I liked a decent amount more than Jordan Morgan? Sure were. But if we have learned anything at all through the entirety of the Packers experience draft process, whether it is Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love, whether it is players that they miraculously find in the later rounds, like all the offensive linemen, TJ Lang, Josh Sitton, Zach Tom, David Bakhtiari, whether it's LVN, whether who knows, we know what they look for. And Green Bay, more often than not, deserves the benefit of the doubt. And certainly, more than anything, Jordan Morgan deserves the benefit of the doubt. You know, he, at least give him the opportunity to come in and prove himself before we say this is the worst pick or Green Bay screwed this up. And you know, I saw somebody in the chat post the Packers are a laughing stock for this. Let's pause a little bit. There's a difference between getting invested in who you want to see Green Bay take and who you don't want to see Green Bay take and immediately jumping to the conclusion of this is going to be a failure. This guy sucks. What is Green Bay doing? Let's give it a hot second. Because as again, I've talked about all along, there are pros and cons to every single one. And our hope is that the pros come to the forefront and that the cons are able to be worked out. And we'll talk about that as well, because one of the really positive things about Jordan Morgan is that the downsides are all fixable. We'll talk about that. Now, I don't want to go, I did an immediate reaction video, and a lot of this stuff I'm about to go over is in that reaction video for Jordan Morgan. So if you want a little bit more meat and potatoes scouting report stuff, go to that. I spent a little bit more time on that. I'm going to try to go through it really quick here because I think it's still worthwhile to go over it in this episode. And then we'll kind of move forward and talk a little bit more about it. But just a quick scouting report. Jordan Morgan, again, what they labeled as an offensive tackle, but he has, I think, some tackle and guard versatility out of the University of Arizona. 6'5", 3'11", had a 9.24 relative athletic score at tackle, a 9.82 relative athletic score at guard. Did not complete the agility testing, so that is a bit of an incomplete score, but his agility on tape, his change of direction, all looks really good. No concerns there. His top athletic comp at tackle per RAS is Tyron Smith, the Cowboys tackle, and now New York Jets tackle. The big-time player, very similar athletic profile, again, without knowing Jordan Morgan's agility testing, but overall, outside of that, there it was very, very similar. Top athletic comp at guard was Kyle Long, the former Chicago Bear, and Joe Thuney, the former New England Patriot. Like some big time offensive lineman, either at tackle or guard, that athletically he compares to. 22 years old, will turn 23 in August. As I mentioned, didn't do all the agility testing, so we can't really go through Packers type all that much because usually they look for a lot of that agility testing. Just know, if Green Bay was still willing to take him, they probably felt extremely good about how agile of an athlete he is in his change of direction, which, like I said, on tape, I have no concerns with whatsoever. Usually 33-inch arms for any sort of offensive tackle has been the cutoff for the Packers. If you remember, Brian Bulaga had the big conversation of, are his arms long enough? This is going to be a major issue. How is he ever going to play tackle? Bulaga's arms were 33¼ inches long. 33¼. And everyone was wondering if he was going to have long enough arms to play tackle in the NFL. Number one, that did work out fine, but Jordan Morgan's are shorter. They're 32⅞ inches long. Now, 33 inches is the cutoff. An eighth of an inch, are you really batting an eye over it? Probably not. But it is worth noting that Bulaga's were considered short and, you know, Morgan's are still, I wouldn't say significantly shorter, but they're shorter than even Bulaga's were. So that's one of the things that will have to be worked out a little bit. Usually if you have those shorter arms, it's more likely that you're going to end up at guard rather than tackle. But again, he's going to have some versatility. And the last thing you want to do is just be like, well, he can't do this. He can't be a tackle or he can't be a guard. Let's get him in the building and figure out first what he's ultimately going to be and give him some opportunities. And then you can figure out the rest from there. But with the short arms, it is a question mark if he will be able to hang at tackle, and it might be something that eventually he does have to move to guard. Did play in the Senior Bowl and had an awesome Senior Bowl week. Jim Nagy waxed poetic about how special of a player he was at the Senior Bowl and, you know, basically beat everyone in one-on-ones, never lost, said he was a first-round lock after it. And again, he's the Senior Bowl director, so he was very much impressed with what Jordan Morgan did at the Senior Bowl. The V word, versatility. We know that Goody values this a ton, and Jordan Morgan has it. Now, he's only played tackle in college, so we can't say with any real certainty, like, yep, he can play everywhere. And I don't think he's a center. Let's just put it that way. But I do think he has tackle and guard versatility, but the guard portion is a projection because he hasn't done it. But I do think left tackle, left guard, right guard, all should be in the wheelhouse for Jordan Morgan as he progresses with his career. Team captain, locker room leader, weight room wonder, and gym rat. All of those things have been talked about when it comes to Jordan Morgan. So he's got the right DNA. And why that stuff matters, it's great if you're a team captain and a leader and a, you know, perfect Boy Scout and everything like that. Just because you're an amazing person doesn't mean you're a great football player. But what it does mean a lot of times when you're a gym rat, a team captain, a team leader, all those sort of things, it means that you're more likely to hit your ceiling. It means that you're usually a hard worker, that you care about your craft, that you're willing to put the time, effort, and energy in. And that gives you more likelihood that you're going to reach that ceiling. And we know, regardless of what you think about Jordan Morgan as the player and what he did in college, the ceiling is still ridiculously high for Morgan based on his traits. He did have a torn ACL coming off his 2022 season. And there was going to be some question because it was later in the 2022 season of like, hey, when he came back in 2023, was he going to be able to hang? Was he going to be all right? And he came out and played really well right away. But you can imagine a world in which, you know, he's still, I won't say recovering, but there is usually that year where you're not quite yourself. Maybe not quite as explosive, maybe not quite as powerful, not as dynamic. There's a real world in which he comes back in 2024, meaning he now playing for the Packers. And he's got his full range of motion, better strength, better everything, a full year removed from that ACL injury. So there could be a better version of Jordan Morgan that we didn't see on tape from a season ago. Started at left tackle, was asked to be on an island a lot, and Arizona trusted him with that spot, regardless of whether he was going against Leatu Leitu, if he was going against Trice from Washington. He got some big time marquee matchups. He struggled with Trice. He did great against Leitu. And that's the world of a NFL offensive tackle on an island, but they trusted him. And whether he has to move to right tackle, left guard, right guard, the fact that they trusted him with the most position and, you know, most important position along the offensive line is telling that they thought very highly of Morgan at Arizona. Hey friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid, and guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through GameTime. My experience with GameTime has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. His past two seasons had an 83.1 and an 83.5 grade per PFF. He's allowed 3 sacks over the past two seasons per PFF in 900 pass pro snaps. So 1 out of every 300. That's again over the last two seasons. He's allowed 31 total pressures in the last two seasons combined, with a 97.8 pass rush efficiency or pass pro efficiency in 2022 and a 98.3 efficiency in 2023. As I talked about, the Packers love these types of players. Zach Tom's a great example of this. This is sort of a souped up Zach Tom in a way. Zach Tom was somebody that, you know, had some size issues. Now, Morgan doesn't have size issues, but he has the arm length issues. And you were going to wonder if Tom was going to be able to hold up. But he's a super athletic, agile, amazing footwork, meaning he's got all the foot speed in the world. Player that you know, played tackle in college, thought you might have to move inside. And of course, he's thrived at offensive tackle. Jordan Morgan, to some extent, is, like I said, a souped up version, a little bit more bigger, a little bit more physical than what Zach Tom was in college. Looks more day one ready than what Zach Tom looked like coming out of college. Different flaws, some different strengths mixed in there, but they've done so well with taking these college left tackles, bringing them in, seeing what their best position is, and letting their athleticism take over while teaching them the art of playing offensive line for the Green Bay Packers, which has been something that they have done such a tremendous job of drafting and developing that specific position. There have been some positions, linebacker is one of them, where it hasn't always gone according to plan. But more often than not in Green Bay, when they take a athletic offensive lineman, whether it's in round one, round three, five, wherever they get them, they're usually able to work with them and make them into NFL caliber offensive linemen. And now they get somebody a little bit more souped up with more traits, with more size. The hope is that that's going to be even another level from some of the guys that they usually have taken in the third, fourth, fifth round. What else do we got here? Like I said, Packers love it. These types of players, they've experienced developing them. And one of the things that I talked about in my scouting report, I'll go over it in just a moment, is I was worried that this would be a sort of a project player that would come in right away and some team would force feed him into the lineup and say, you got to play right now and not spend the time maybe developing him. And he would just get sort of lost at the end of the day. I think he's going to a perfect team fit. And as I talked about when the other day in one of the draft shows where I talked about Latham going potentially to the Chargers and how that would be a great team fit. And I talked about some other players where it's not so much about where they go. It's about what scheme they're in and how well do they fit in that scheme. And I do think that Jordan Morgan is going into a team that is a perfect scheme fit. I think he's going into a team that is willing to put the time, effort, and energy in to develop him as a player. I know, based on everything that I've heard, that he is going to be somebody that is willing to put the time, effort, and energy in to develop. And it's possible that he doesn't have to play until at least there's an injury, because you have five starters that can play right now along the offensive line. All right, with all that being said, let's kind of go over the scouting report here. This was my personal scouting report prior to him being drafted. I haven't changed a thing about this. This was not rose-tinted glasses. This was not me being positive, negative, or whatever after the pick. This was my scouting report prior to the pick. Clean mover in the run game, can get to his spots and works really well in a zone blocking scheme, which again is what Green Bay has. He's especially talented as a backside blocker. He also could be elite as a puller, and I think he will ultimately need to play guard in the NFL. Everything is a little bit broken. He is going to need to get reworked from the ground up. His hand placement needs to be better. His head will drop. His footwork is all over the place. It all just needs work. He is susceptible to counters, to bull rushes, to speed rushes, and he lacks consistency in pass pro. He's not a physical mover in the run game, although he does show upside there, and especially as a backside blocker. He'll get after people a little bit. One of the things I actually want to say, I mentioned yesterday he's more on the finesse. I will still argue he's more finesse than power, but the finesse is maybe it has a negative connotation with it. I don't think he's a finesse blocker. He's not a soft blocker, but I think he's also not a mauler. He's somewhere in between there is how I would say it. Not finesse, not power, not mauler, but he's somewhat aggressive, willing to be physical, but there's another level that I think he can still get to be a little bit more of a physical attacker, specifically in the run game. Let's see, where did I leave off here? So susceptible to all of those, not a physical mover in the run game. Traits wise, there is a lot to like, and he easily looks the part. Maybe the move inside will benefit him enough. He's going to be a project, and I worry that he's going to come in and struggle, and teams are going to struggle to get him on the right path, and he ends up floundering as a backup offensive lineman. And that's where that team fit comes in, where if he's forced to play right away and you don't invest the time into him that he needs, you could end up with a player that just never lives up to the expectation, and you end up with Jason Spriggs 2.0. But if you put the time and effort and energy in, this is not Spriggs, where I think Morgan is already better than Spriggs for all, you know, from day one. And I think he is more willing to put the time in to actually fix the flaws in his game. And I think Green Bay is probably in a better spot too. I think he has a much better opportunity for success than what like a Jason Spriggs ever had. Kind of a breakdown here. I love the traits. I didn't like the tape. If I'm just being real, I did not like the tape, but I love the traits. And I put that in my initial scouting report. So this is, again, not me rose-tinted glasses, the moments after the pick. I clearly understand the upside of the play and don't mind the thought process and the, you know, procedure of going with a high-end potential player that might take a little bit more time to develop. I also recognize that there is legitimate risk with a player like this. If, you know, sometimes we talk about where, and I've gone in a little bit of, you know, sort of diatribes in the past of like, can you still draft and develop in today's NFL? Is that develop aspect still there? And I think Green Bay went a long way last year in saying, yeah, it is. We can still develop these players. And that's why I think Goody and Luke Butkus and Adam Stenovich and Matt LaFleur deserve a little bit of the benefit of the doubt of, even if you didn't like this pick, even if he wasn't your guy, these are the type of guys they've had success with. And Green Bay, especially again, Goody and Matt and Steno and Butkus, their draft and develop program, especially on the offensive line, has been fantastic. And now they get a guy with all the traits that you want and desire and a little bit more of a ball of clay. And you got to think they're going to be able to put something together there with Jordan Morgan. But if you don't have that immediate ability to come in and play at a high level, there is a risk that, again, you sort of get lost in no man's land and never really become the player that you're expected to be. This isn't quite the era of draft and development of the Ted Thompson era. So you still got to make sure that they get on the right path. But again, the fact that Morgan has all of those high-end traits, personality traits, the desire to be great, that gives me more faith that he's going to see that ceiling and avoid that floor. As I mentioned, I think he did go to the perfect spot. And Green Bay is a draft and develop franchise. They drafted a talented player, and now comes the developmental portion. And if they hit that key part of it, he can be as good as he wants to be, and he can be as good as the Packers can make him. But they're going to have to put that energy in, and so is Morgan, and he's going to have to improve his technique if he wants to be a capable NFL pass protector, run blocker, and just somebody that they can trust to protect Jordan Love along the offensive line. As far as what this means for the Packers offensive line, the one thing you have to love with this, right, is versatility. You now have, you know, Zach Tom, Elgton Jenkins, and Jordan Morgan, who can all play a variety of different positions. So you can move those guys around pretty much as needed to get the other two guys on your roster in the spots that they are best at. And that is a huge level of flexibility that most offensive lines don't have, but they now have it with Zach Tom, Elgton Jenkins, and now Jordan Morgan. The other thing is, if you've been paying attention at all to my entire offseason, I have gone on numerous episodes to tell you and look you in the eye. To me, offensive line is the biggest need on this team. You can argue safety. You can argue linebacker. You can argue some, you know, whatever, running back maybe. I don't know. That's not true with Josh Jacobs, but you get my point. Offensive line to me was 1A. And the reason being is you were a player away from Royce Newman. You're a player away from Luke Tenuta, Caleb Jones, you know, a variety of different players that you don't feel comfortable with. And that can ruin everything with a young quarterback that's just coming in to his own and just gaining a ridiculous level of confidence. That can ruin a player if you all of a sudden have to drop your eyes and start watching the line. And if you don't have the depth and a guy who can come in and step up and be a starter, you're screwed. Now, Jordan Morgan's going to have to go a long ways in still proving that he can be that reliable player, that they can just run the offense the same. He is, in my opinion, at least probably the fifth best offensive line on this team right now. I think he's going to be better than Sean Ryan from pretty much day one. At least compete there. But at worst, I think he's going to be clearly better than Royce Newman, Caleb Jones, Luke Tenuta, you know, Kadeem Telford, anyone else on that bench. So at worst, he's the sixth guy and the next man up. And I think there's a real world in which Rashid Walker and Sean Ryan get put on notice. And even if you want to move, you know, a Zach Tom inside to center, that Josh Myers could be on notice a little bit too. So they get a much needed depth piece at, in my opinion, their biggest area of need, and some real competition for guys like Walker and Sean Ryan as well, and maybe even Josh Myers. As far as what happened in round one, We saw 14 players on offense go back to back up until 14 backs. So that was really interesting. We've never seen anything like that before. Six quarterbacks in the top 12. What you ended up seeing happen was a ton of the top defensive players fall. And I did think that Goody might have been more aggressive with a trade because of the players that were available. You had Byron Murphy available at 16. Troy Fautanu, the offensive lineman, available at 20. Quinyon Mitchell got taken at 22. Terrion Arnold got taken at 24. I might have those numbers slightly messed up. But yeah, Arnold was one pick before Green Bay. So I'm surprised that Goody was not a little bit more aggressive in moving up. But when he was asked if they were looking to move up, it sounded like there was only players super early in the draft that maybe they were interested in and it was never going to come to fruition. It sounds like he was going to stay or move down. And also remember, as soon as they got on the clock, that pick was in. And he confirmed that Detroit came calling because he was not surprised, he said, when Detroit moved up a pick ahead of them. Sounds like they had those conversations with Detroit already. He had options to move down. He said first into the back end of round one, but also into round two. He had those conversations. He ended up saying no, and they immediately picked Jordan Morgan. I do not believe that if Terrion Arnold was still on the board, that they would have taken Terrion Arnold. I think they would have taken Jordan Morgan. That's how much I think they believe in him, honestly and truthfully. They clearly did not take Cooper DeJean. They didn't take Tyler Guyton. They didn't take Graham Barton. A lot of guys that we often discussed, they were there. And I think the Barton one is interesting. But again, remember, Barton, when he got announced by Tampa, announced as a center. Green Bay doesn't take interior offensive linemen early. They take the guys that are, you know, versatile, but they announced Jordan Morgan as a tackle. That is a very telling point. Bill Belichick, after the draft, said that Jordan Morgan is a left tackle, and there's no question about that. He had a lot of positive things to say about Jordan Morgan as well. So if you were looking for a real positive takeaway, you know, maybe take it from the guy that's known pretty much more about football than anyone else on the planet over the course of the past few decades. Bill Belichick really, really seemed to like that pick. But yeah, it was interesting that they didn't, you know, potentially look to move up in those scenarios. I would have potentially moved down, you know, but if I love the fact again, that they have conviction on the player. If it's somebody that I don't love, the fact that they feel strongly about it gives me more faith that, all right, they had a ton of conviction about just taking Jordan Morgan. They had trade down opportunities and they cared more. And you know, think of this, right? You know how much Goody cares about his draft picks. And my bet is that he at least, at minimum, had access to another third round pick by moving down a handful of spots. And he said no, because that's how much he wanted Jordan Morgan. Right or wrong, we'll find out. Time will tell. But that's how much conviction they had in the pick. And that's what you really want. It's one of the things I talked about with Jordan Love when everyone, again, regardless of what you thought of that pick at the time, everyone's like, plus they gave up a late fourth round pick. If you're not willing to give up a late fourth to go up and get your guy, you shouldn't be drafting that guy in the first place. So if you don't feel that conviction of, hey, we want to stay and take him, then is he really your guy? So I like the fact that he was their guy. And as soon as they got on the clock, they took him and they felt extremely excited about it. Again, it was clear that they loved him, but now we will see if that actually ends up paying off in any real way. Once Arnold was off the board, by the way, Terrion Arnold, that is, I know a lot of people really liked Cooper DeJean. A lot of people really liked Graham Barton, maybe a Kool-Aid McKinstry, some of those type of guys. Once Arnold went off the board, again, a pick before Green Bay with Detroit moving up one pick ahead of Green Bay to take Terrion Arnold, I didn't have anyone at that point anymore that I was like, they got to have this guy. So I know a lot of people, again, were in that DeJean, Graham Barton sort of camp. I've said for over a week now, I didn't think it was quite the perfect fit that people were expecting it to be. And we didn't see DeJean go in round one, period, which is, I'm still surprised by. I thought he would have. And we saw Graham Barton go a pick later, but drafted as a center. And I think that there's a good reason why Green Bay maybe passed on both of those players. But I think once it got to that point for me personally, I was not like, oh my goodness, they just missed on one of these guys. It was the guys that went a little bit before. Quinyon Mitchell, a few picks before. Troy Fautanu at 20. Byron Murphy at 16. Terry Arnold at 23 or 24. Those are the type of players where I'm like, man, could you have done a little bit more to get up to one of those spots to maybe secure one of those guys? But once they were all gone and you got to 25, because for a while it looked like maybe two or three of those guys are going to be there. Once it was DeJean and Barton, again, I'm personally more in the trade down, but if they were, again, convicted on Jordan Morgan, totally understand the decision and was not quite as high on the DeJean and Barton bandwagon as a lot of other people were. Let's talk about the NFC North really quick. Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze go to Chicago. That is an offense that has the potential to be a real problem moving forward. Caleb Williams at quarterback, DeAndre Swift at running back. You've got now Rome Odunze, DJ Moore. They go and get Keenan Allen. Tyler Scott's another fun wide receiver at number four. That was, a day three draft pick a season ago. You've got Cole Kmet. You've got Gerald Everett, a good offensive line that continues to get better. Darnell Wright was such an amazing pick for them last year. That has the ability to really supercharge that offense. Now, from a good news standpoint for Green Bay, the Bears only have their third and fourth round picks remaining, and that is it. They have no second round pick, no fifth, no sixth, no seventh, no other comp picks, third and a fourth, and that's it. But they did get Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, which is quite the haul in the first 10 picks of this draft. Meanwhile, the Minnesota Vikings also had two draft picks. They get J.J. McCarthy, and they move up to pick 10 to get McCarthy, and then Dallas Turner, they move up aggressively to go get. Now, they gave up a ton of future draft capital, remember, already, to go from the second round to pick 23, and they lost that trade in a major way, and now they did another trade that they lost mathematically in a major way to go up and get Dallas Turner. Now, a lot of people expected Dallas Turner to be the first edge rusher off the board. He fits perfectly in Minnesota's system. He is going to be a freak. Jonathan Greenard across from him is a really strong fit on those bookend defensive ends. That's a really strong pick for Minnesota. But again, if you're looking for a... Here's the good news, bad news. The bad news is... The thought was that they were going to have to give up a ton of draft capital to get J.J. McCarthy, maybe future first and things like that. And they didn't. Instead, they were able to just move up one pick and barely give up anything in order to do so. So that was a big coup for Minnesota. Now, what becomes of J.J. McCarthy, we will have to wait and see. But they got a really good young quarterback, and they got arguably one of the best, if not the best, defenders in this draft in Dallas Turner. That's a big-time haul for Minnesota. But again, on the flip side here, they have a fourth-round pick left. They have 2 sixth-round picks and 2 seventh-round picks. So they've got... In their case, they've got, what, 5 picks left, but 4 of those are 6 or 7s. One of them is a 4th, and they have no 2nd, no 3rd, and no 5th-round picks this year. And right now, they have a 1st-round pick and 2 5th-round picks next year. That's it. No 2nd, no 3rd, no 4th, no 6th, no 7th for the Vikings next year. So they are extremely limited in draft capital right now with all the moves that they made. But J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner, a pretty impressive haul. Meanwhile, Detroit, as mentioned, moves up ahead of Green Bay. They give up a 3rd-round pick in order to get Terrion Arnold. That's an aggressive move from them, but they've been trying to fix that secondary. Terrion Arnold will go a long way in doing that. And of course, I know a lot of people were hoping Arnold was going to go one more pick and Green Bay was going to take him. Like I said, I don't think Green Bay was going to take him, but you don't also like to see Terrion Arnold go in that Detroit secondary where they already had, you know, Branch that they got a season ago. They've been working to upgrade it. Melifonwu really came on at the end of last year. That's a Lions secondary that could be much better very, very quickly. This is a massive night in the NFC North with the Vikings and Bears having 2 picks each. Caleb Williams, think about this. Caleb Williams, arguably the NFL or the draft's best player. Rome Odunze, a lot of people had him as wide receiver 1, or at least in the same conversation with Harrison and with Neighbors. I had him as number 2, but he's a phenomenal wide receiver. J.J. McCarthy, one of the top young quarterbacks in this draft. Dallas Turner, arguably the best defender. And Terrion Arnold, who a lot of people had as the best corner. All of those players just went in the division. Green Bay got Jordan Morgan. He's in the division too. Big day for the NFC North. How you grade those, Chicago, Minnesota, Detroit, Green Bay, I'll let you decide that. But that was a big time day, and we got some big time competition, meaning the players that they got added to the NFC North. And well, hopefully Jordan Morgan outlives some of those other draft picks, because Green Bay is going to need him based on some of the high-end, top-end talent that the NFC North was able to secure in this draft. As I mentioned, six QBs taken in the first 12. First defensive player was Leitu at pick 15, and Cooper DeJean not taken in round one. Those were some of the big surprises. Some players that I have on the second round draft board for Green Bay: Cooper DeJean still out there. And by the way, how awesome would it be? Brian Bulaga, Awa, gets to announce the draft in round two. Could they get Cooper DeJean, Awa? It's meant to be. I feel like it's meant to be. Maybe Green Bay trades up. Maybe they get him at 41. That'd be pretty sweet. Kool-Aid McKinstry still out there. Kingsley Suamataea, I don't know their appetite for taking another developmental offensive lineman or a guy that's going to need some time after taking Jordan Morgan, but he's still out there. Cooper Beebe, Chris Jenkins, Mason Smith, Rook Arorojo, Michael Hall, Marshawn Kneeland, Peyton Wilson, Edrin Cooper, Junior Colson, Max Melton, TJ Tampa, Jaden Hicks, Cole Bishop, and Jonathan Bullard. Some guys to keep an eye on very early in round two. If I had to narrow that list a little bit, specifically for pick 41, Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Chris Jenkins, Rook Arorojo, Marshawn Kneeland, Edrin Cooper, Junior Colson, Jonathan Bullard, and Jaden Hicks, I think would be the ones. Now, some of you have been asking for positions. So defensive back, Cooper DeJean, corner, Kool-Aid McKinstry, defensive tackle, Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle, Rook Arorojo, defensive end, Marshawn Kneeland, linebacker, Edrin Cooper, linebacker, Junior Colson, safety, Javon Bullard, safety, Jaden Hicks. Four picks on night two. This is a massive, massive night for Green Bay. Again, think back to 2023 where they only had three picks and were able to get Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, and Jaden Reed. We're hoping for another Goot masterpiece on day two of this specific draft. I think they will maybe have some conversations about trading up, but my guess is they stick and pick at 41, and there should be plenty of really good options there. Then we'll see, you know, kind of after 41, if they want to move that pick 58 up to still get one of those guys maybe that I just mentioned. Last but not least, a couple things really quick. My honest, unfiltered feel for the pick right now on Jordan Morgan, if I'm just kind of laying it out there, you know, every once in a while, you would like Green Bay just to get a player that's maybe just a little bit more well-rounded right away, that's just ready to come in and play and isn't quite as much of a projection. And I'm not surprised. I'm not mad, not upset. But when you see some of these players that are falling and you think that you might have the opportunity to get this player that's going to be able to come in and play at a high level right away, you see that opportunity and you're just like, gosh, that would feel amazing. Now, to be fair, we've thought in the past that some guys like Josh Jackson were going to be able to be that type of player, and that was an early round two pick, but we're all excited about Josh Jackson. That doesn't turn out. There were others that we thought were not going to be as good, and like Rashawn Gary had some big-time question marks, and you know he didn't come in and play right away, but obviously that pick has been fantastic. Same thing with Jordan Love. Took a little bit more time. So I'm not saying that, again, they did anything wrong here, but every once in a while, you would just like to have that pick where you can just see immediately that they're going to be able to come in and contribute. And maybe that ends up being the case for Jordan Morgan, but I just wish it felt a little bit more safe than what this pick does. This is my quote in the scouting report that I wrote up again before the draft. I think it's really one to remember here. And this is, again, not me rose-tinted glasses. My quote: traits-wise, there is a lot to like, and he easily looks the part. I think what you have to remember here is we still have to get in the mode of what he projects to be, not what he was in college. You look at him and you see what he's capable of, and you can understand the pick right away, even if the tape leaves you wanting quite a bit more from a consistency standpoint. I do think there were better options out there. I think Green Bay could have maneuvered around the board a little bit better, but they picked a player at their biggest area of need who landed in the perfect spot. Everything that is wrong with Jordan Morgan is fixable. None of it is catastrophic. None of it is like, how are they going to possibly fix this issue? No, it's all fixable issues with coaching. And that should give you a lot of hope with what he can become in the NFL. My concerns with him: the tape wasn't as good as you would really like it to be. And you would like a better level of consistency coming out of, you know, all the time that he spent at Arizona and, you know, being a player that's being picked at pick 25. You just would like to see it be a bit more consistent and a little bit more, maybe just a little bit less underwhelming, I'll put it that way. He's already had an ACL injury and he's had some ankle injuries, which gives you a little pause and cause for concern. He's got the short arms, which cannot be fixed. He turns 23 in August. So while he's still 22 right now, this is not somebody that's 2021 and is like this super developmental guy like an Amarius Mims. He's already a couple years older than that. So you're expecting to try to get something out of him sooner rather than later. And he might take some time to develop still. And again, sometimes picking at pick 25, you'd like to see somebody that you can bring in, set in their position, and just kind of let them go and grow right away. And we'll see if that's ultimately going to be the case for Jordan Morgan or not. So that's kind of my overall take here. My final thing is, I do think he's in the top five right now. I think he probably starts. If he can't, it's fine, because you've got some guys that can start there and you can develop them a little bit longer. But how they rotate out those players and who ends up being the starting five, that remains to be seen. But I would not be upset if this ended up being Rashid Walker, Elgton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Jordan Morgan, and Zach Tom from left to right. And Tom and Morgan together on the right side could be a really fun combination, especially with all their movement ability. Really quick, one other note from Thursday that's not draft related. Per Rob Domofsky, Andre Dillard, their newest signee, got zero money guaranteed and is on a vet minimum contract. So extremely no risk. No, I can't even say low risk. It's no risk. And the reward is that he somehow gets back to playing like he did a couple seasons ago, where he was a solid rotational player, or at best, he finally lives up to his first round billing from when Philly drafted him in the first round 5 years ago, whatever that was. That is it. A lot to cover. We've got a lot more going on over the next couple days. It is 3:18 in the morning. We've got a busy day on Friday. It is the best time of the year. Cannot wait to unwrap four more players on Friday, assuming that Goody doesn't trade any picks away. Really big shout out to all of our new members that came across the last couple days. Cameron Sproul, Matheson Guy, Edward Crary, Craig B., Tyler Kroritz, the McPain Train, excuse me, Chris Westfall, Casey Morgan, Joe Nagroski, Josh Rosenberg, Richard Lee, Ryan Volts, Austin Hood, Logan Manderly, Tom Dottie, Austin Armstrong, Young Feezy Baby, Jake Walls, The Tizzy, Todd Van Nersis, Jeffrey Arndt, Sap Gooey, Kyle Parent, Golden Boy Fan, Andrew Krakow, Miranda Wagner, Josh McCormick, Prince Caspian, and then Jeremy Harder. It's not Prince Caspian, by the way. I know that one. That's not how it's spelled. But and then Jeremy Harder. Appreciate all of you guys signing up. That is unbelievable. A lot of support over the last couple days. And shout out, of course, to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members as well. Mo Sada Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, and Alex Huang. I will see you guys soon. I hope to see you at Badger State on Friday. If not, then Q&A at noon. And again, the live draft stream, 6 p.m. Central Time on Friday as well. I'll talk to you then. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.